That school bell tells us it is time for class session 535 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And on this particular program, it's time for our special feature. And what we do for a special feature is read the article from the Rock Cliff Review. Now, the Rock Cliff Review is the bulletin we pass out for those that assemble together on Sunday morning. It has largely to do with the internal affairs of our congregation and of those with whom we are interested. We have a shut-in list and a prayer list and a list of gospel efforts going along in the area with birthdays and anniversaries and some things about the sick of this week and such things as that. Those who are going to be conducting the services, that's in there. And so it's kind of like a family newsletter. And so it's a way we can keep up with one another. People often take this bulletin and go home and use it as a guideline on who to contact and who to send cards to and such as that. And we do that because we love one another at Rock Cliff. But also there's another thing we do in the bulletin. Each week I include a bulletin article. Now I know some people say, well, no one reads bulletin articles. But that's not so. They read mine. In fact, I see them sitting in their pews reading them before the services. And most of the time, the articles in the bulletin that we pass out, the articles that I submit, have something to do with the sermon that I'm about to preach. And so you either get a preview or a supplement or a summary of the sermon that you're about to hear. And I think by reading the bulletin and then listening to the sermon, you're able to retain more information and appreciate the things that are being said better than you would if you were simply there to listen to the sermon. And so if you ever visit us at Rock Cliff, you'll be able to receive one of these bulletins. I know there's one lady there at Rock Cliff that gets a stack of these. And she sends them out to her friends and her family members that they may read them. Well, I'm going to read this article from the Rock Cliff Review. The sermon I was preaching that morning is about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And the main text I use from this is in Mark. But it's not just found in the book of Mark. We find it in the other Gospels as well. Let me read this to you from the bulletin. Except for the resurrection itself, the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that is told by Matthew 14:13-21, Mark 6:30-44, Luke 9:10-17, and John 6:1-14. The nature of this miracle is such that it could not have been faked. Matthew and John were among 5,000 witnesses. Mark knew some who were there. Luke independently investigated all this from the beginning and documented his findings so that we could know the certainty of what is reported. Luke 1:3-4. These four accounts are handed down to us as complementary dispositions. They are written that we might believe, John 20:21. This is evidence for our faith. Jesus was trying to bring his apostles, Mark 6:30, into a desert place, Mark 6:31. We should not think of this as a barren place void of water. Some have said that Philip could not have immersed the Ethiopian in Acts 8:36 because they were in a desert, Acts 8:26. Whatever kind of desert Philip and the eunuch were in, there was enough water for them both to go down into the water for the baptism and then to come up out of the water. The word desert in the New Testament does not mean a place with little water. It means a place with few people. A place deserted. The desert place where Jesus took his disciples had enough water for their ship, for they departed into a desert place by ship, Mark 6:32. Jesus wanted to remove himself and his apostles from the crowds, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat, Mark 6:31. The apostles had just returned from their first preaching tours, and they needed rest, Mark 6:31. There are other reasons they needed to get away. Herod had killed John the Baptist. And when he heard about Jesus, he thought that Jesus may have been John risen from the dead, Mark 6:14. Also among these multitudes there were many who thought to take Jesus by force and make him king, John 6:15. Some have said that Jesus failed to establish his kingdom because the Jews rejected him. But these Jews did not reject him. If Jesus had come to establish an earthly kingdom, he could have done so. When Jesus and his apostles arrived at this desert place, they found the grass, Matthew 14:19, to be green, Mark 6:39, and abundant, John 6:10. This was the spring time of year. The previous wet winter season would account for the abundant green grass. John tells that the time of the Passover was near, John 6:4. This would account for the multitudes about Jesus, for they would have been gathering for their annual journey to Jerusalem. 5,000 of these men followed Jesus on foot upon the Galilean shore as Jesus went by sea. They were waiting for Jesus when he arrived. Perhaps they thought he would organize his resistance to their rulers in the wilderness as the Maccabees had done before him. When Jesus saw them, he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God. Luke 11:19. It was not the kind of kingdom they expected. These men had come out to Jesus with a spiritual hunger, and Jesus filled them. Now evening was approaching, and they were going physically hungry. The apostles advised Jesus to send them away that they might find food, but Jesus told them they would feed them themselves. Jesus had the 5,000 sit in companies of 50 and 100. They brought to Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fishes, for this was all they had. Jesus looked up to heaven and gave thanks for the food and divided it among the apostles, who distributed it among the men. They all ate and were filled, and there remained 12 baskets full of the fragments of the bread and of the fishes. Note the numbers. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 5,000 men. 12 baskets of fragments remaining. All 4 accounts agree on these numbers. Mark in Mark 6:37 and John in John 6:7 both tell us it would have taken 200 pennyworths to have purchased enough for food for these men. The agreement of these numbers adds to the credibility of these accounts. Mark tells us that Jesus had performed many miracles. He'd cast out unclean spirits, cured a fever, cleansed a leper, healed the sick of palsy, made whole a withered hand, calmed the sea with his voice, and stopped an issue of blood, and raised the dead. Now he had provided an abundance for a multitude from a meager meal. Still, many did not believe. Someone once told me that he would believe the Bible if it were not for the miracles. If the miracles were done so that we would believe. The accounts of these miracles are part of the evidence of our faith, and the benevolent nature of these miracles make faith desirable. Jesus does not turn us away. He receives us. He has compassion on us. And he fills us. And thus we had the sermon for that Sunday morning from the Rockcliffe Review. I read from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And with that little break, we're going to return to our Sunday school lesson about the reign of David. And in the last class session, we were talking about how David attempted to bring the ark to Jerusalem. But he did not do things God's way. They had prepared a new cart for the ark. God had told the priest to bear the ark on their shoulders. There were rings in the ark where they would thrust rods, and the priest were to bear the ark on their shoulders, and no one was to touch the ark lest they die. But David prepared a new cart, and with a great fanfare and parade, they were bringing the ark toward Jerusalem. And then the oxen pulling the ark stumbled. And Uzziah, who was just behind the cart, did not want the ark to rattle or to fall or to slip. He stretched forth his hand to steady the ark, and when he touched the ark, he died. Well, that ended David's parade, and David was sore distressed, and David was sore displeased. We'll continue reading that story in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, "It was told King David, saying, Jehovah hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and all that pertaineth unto him, because of the ark of God. And David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with joy. And it was so that when they bare the ark of Jehovah had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David danced before Jehovah with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod, and David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of Jehovah with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. And so it was as the ark of Jehovah came unto the city of David." Now, I'm going to read another account to you of that story that is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Let me read the first 4 verses of that chapter. It says, "David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath Jehovah chosen to carry the ark of God, and administer unto him forever. And David assembled all Israel at Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of Jehovah unto its place, which he had prepared for it. And David gathered together the sons of Aaron and the Levites." And then we read in 1 Chronicles 15, verses 12 through 15. "He said unto them, Ye are the heads of the fathers of the houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of Jehovah, the God of Israel, to the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye bear it not at the first, Jehovah our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not according to the ordinance. So the priests of the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of Jehovah, the God of Israel, and the children of Israel, the Levites, bare the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves, as Moses commanded according to the word of Jehovah." Well, there's so many things we can learn from this lesson. Poor Uzziah, this man with good intentions, he violated the law of God. There are those that think it doesn't matter what you do in religion, as long as your intentions are right. Well, you wouldn't say that about the food you eat. It doesn't matter what you eat, as long as your appetite's good. Not if you ate poison. And it doesn't say that about the medicine we take. It doesn't matter what medicine we take, as long as our intention is good. Not if you take the wrong medicine. And so Uzziah, with good intentions, violated the law of God and paid dearly for it. But also, the importance of doing things according to the ordinances. They sought him not at first after the ordinances. They made a new cart and had their own parade. But that did not work. But then when they had the priest bear the ark, all was joyful. They did it as Moses commanded according to the word of Jehovah. And so must we do.